views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Dave from LA, and today is April the 12th, 2017. We have a live show for you today. It's a Wise Wednesday. I will not be hosting today, but it's Wise Wednesday, and Brother Davis will be here today. So I just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on a conversation with Brother Davis, definitely today's show is going to be extremely, extremely important. And you definitely will want to have your questions ready for Brother Davis, and so because it actually will involve you, your family, and how to protect yourselves. And it's very, very important for some of the things that's going on in current events. As you all know, this week I had to take the week off. Spending time with family, very, very important. But because of some of the things that's been going on in the world, I just thought it was just too important not to come on and talk to you all just briefly before handing it over to Brother Davis. And Scotty, if you will, just once Brother Davis is in queue, let me know because I can't see the board. And then we'll go to Brother Davis. It won't be too long. And what I wanted to do, I didn't post too much.
Greetings to you.
Okay.
But he's already—
okay, great. Brother Davis is already there in queue, ready to go. Thank you, Scotty. Everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Give your donations. Go to the website for Black Talk Radio Network. That's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. There at the website, you'll see the donation prompt that's right there on the far right. Just hit that, and that will keep this network going, keep it where we're on air and able to bring you information and able to engage with you all, because that's going to be very, very important, especially for some of the things that we're going to be experiencing. And actually, everything that we've been putting together here on Tando Radio Show, from all of the very first show to this show, we've been gearing you all up, and that was been our overall— that's been our hope, was to gear you up for some of the things that you're going to start to see as they start to unfold. And if you've been with us since we started Tando Radio Show, we actually had, you know, said a lot of the events that you're seeing now is going to continue to unfold. So there isn't anything that I posted for what's in the news, because you should already know some of the things, especially those of you with, that's been listening to the Tando Radio Show for a while. You already know some of the things that are, that are there in the news. And so what I wanted to highlight is a couple of things that are very, very important. I didn't post them inside of Tando as of yet. I will as soon as I can. But of course, you are well made well aware that on last week, on the 100-year anniversary of the start of World War I, there was the overall U.S. strike on Syria with over 63 cruise missile attacks that hit into Syria. And this is, ladies and gentlemen, things that you need to be preparing for, because this is the ramping up. World War III has already started. It is now moving towards Global Nuclear War 1. And I would just say that the assassination phase, where you were going to see assassinations of individuals that could actually be used against the system, they were systematically taken out over the past 3 and 4 years. And that was the overall assassination phase. That phase is now, in my opinion, has ended with some of the recent assassinations that have gone on globally. They're not being publicized. They're not in mainstream media as much. But that phase has actually ended, in my opinion. And now we're moving towards the more direct confrontations between the so-called sovereign countries, which is going to propel and going to move us into a further act of all-out aggression and military situations and just overall military conflict. On an outwardly motion, and they're pushing it now heavily on mainstream media, and these are clues that should let you know where we are. So, of course, you are aware of what happened in Syria, but as we're speaking right now, the U.S. military is moving towards North Korea, and this, in my opinion, is a multi-pronged attack to move into World War III at a more obvious position, but it's also going to lead into global nuclear war one, where there will be, for the first time, the exchange of nuclear devices, in my opinion, between so-called sovereign nations. And these are some of the things that you need to be preparing for. And I know that Brother Davis is going to – what's that, Scotty?
Yeah, just to that, to add some more intelligence, to paint a bigger picture, there's a report that came out that the Russians, Syrians, and Iranians were conferencing as well on this issue, on escalating, and how they're seemingly, the way the intel portrays it, like they drawing some lines in the sand of their own.
Yeah, and Scotty is absolutely right. And I really wanted to jump into that because it's so important, and we will hopefully the things will still be developing by time we come back on air. But Brother Davis and Scotty is going to be here, particularly Brother Davis will be here to give some things that you should be thinking about and actually doing. And I want to say that, yes, the lines have been drawn, the sides have been drawn up. And I would actually say that not only is it the Syrians, the Iranians, and the Russians that have actually aligned themselves, I would actually include the Chinese, and as well as other nations. Surprisingly, I would even say that Germany will be going to that side as well. Once Germany goes, France will go along with it as all. The celebrity figurehead, CEO, President of the United States, was in Europe for the NATO talks, and that is not something that's a outward celebrity appearance for that, because the overall stage of war is being set up. And if you heard anything about the overall press releases or the speeches that were gave today, that was all about, they were talking about having Europe having to pay its fair share for NATO and strengthen NATO and to resist the overall chemical attacks that the Syrian government had waged on its citizens. So this whole thing is going to move into the expansion of World War III and into global nuclear war one. Because the real target, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, is the assets that are coming out of Iran and the assets that are held within Syria and that overall pipeline, that natural gas pipeline and the oil pipelines. And this is really moving towards that. As we speak, Iran has dropped the U.S. dollar as of March the 21st. And we all know what the U.S. government has always done to countries that have dropped the U.S. dollar. They start the overall war engagement. But in this scenario, ladies and gentlemen, no longer will the U.S. be able to bully any other countries because they can appropriately defend themselves. And as we speak now, they're moving also to North Korea. And the Chinese have moved over 100,000 troops on the Chinese border. And China has also said that they will actually assist, in some reports, they will assist the U.S. in taking out the North Korean nuclear arsenal. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, that's a facade, and this whole thing has to do there with controlling of the South Sea of China. So there has been redeployment of submarines, either being Chinese or being North Korean submarines, even towards the U.S. So the overall war is going to jump off. And one of the things that I want to say to you all, you have to be prepared for this, because this has real opportunities to spiral into full-blown cyber attack wars. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will directly affect you regardless. There's also been, you know, saber rattling from North Korea saying that they will have a tactical, a nuclear response to any engagement in North Korea. And North Korea may all of a sudden just decide to have a preemptive attack on South Korea and Japan before the overall naval strike group within the Carl Vinson reaches the Korean Peninsula. And that, ladies and gentlemen, because they would take, you know, the first strike approach, because they know why those overall ships and the overall naval armada is moving towards them. And they're moving towards them not to threaten, but to actually attack. They may take the bull by the horns and start that engagement, and that will totally destabilize things. Because one of the things about North Korea is that they have a very sizable, very capable cyber warfare military units. And not only them, the Chinese have it, the Russians have it, the Syrians have it, and the Iranians have it. And not only that, the U.S. have it, and who knows, do you trust them? No. We already know what they've done before in the past by using false flags to start the overall engagements of war. So these are some of the things that you should be thinking about and preparing for, and Brother Davis will definitely touch on some of those things that you should be thinking about and preparing yourself and your family for. Now is the time to really, really start to look at what's going on in the world. There are actually in Zimbabwe has started to where they will start to collateralize gold as a instrument for any settlement of trade, meaning they have started the process to back their currency by gold and to have that as the collateral foundation of their economy. All other countries will be following that overall motto. And this is something that is going to be very detrimental to every person here in the so-called corporation of the United States, their citizens. That is going to dramatically adversely affect you and your purchasing power, because your overall currency is based in confidence, and the world has lost confidence in the U.S. dollar. So those are some of the things that are definitely happening, as well as we are probably 4 days away from the U.S. having a government shutdown because of the overall budget issues. And this comes right in line with right around that time, the U.S. may be engaging the North Korea in military engagement. And this is all a smokescreen. This overall, these military engagements serve many purposes. One of the purposes is to disguise and to cloak the collapse of the U.S. economy. So I would definitely want to tell you all, this is something that you can't take lightly. This is why we brought Tando Radio Show to you, to give you an opportunity to position yourself. You know, we really did need a lot of time to prepare. And I hope that a lot of you have been using that time in a very fruitful and a very wise manner to do just that. I gave a seminar back in October the 7th, 1 month before the celebrity figurehead election in the United States. And that actual seminar was the reason, the name of it was The Reason for the Ark. And in that, I had said that the war will start in April of 2017 after the election cycle had ended. And it wasn't that we are prophets or anything of that. It's just that we know history, and we were reading the signs of what they were telling us when things would start. And lo and behold, 100 years to the day of the start of World War I was really the overall official start of World War III, because the U.S. has already invaded Syria along with Israel, and that is only going to grow. It is not going to subside and end in a everything is all fair and return to the normalcy that we had before. Do not allow normalcy bias to dictate your decision, meaning that you're biased to everything is going to be okay. That is just not the case. So I just wanted to come on today and to bring some of that to you before we hand it over to Brother Davis. And definitely we'll be looking forward to re-engaging with Tando Radio Show on Monday. And just be prepared. And how do you be prepared? Make sure that your family, first and foremost, have the staple goods that are necessary to maintain your overall quality of life. Then there are other things that you should be doing that we've talked about so much here on Tando Radio Show. Please do not be caught off guard. Just imagine if all of a sudden there's a major cyber attack and you can't use your credit card, you can't use your debit card, you can't access funds from the banks via your ATM cards, or you can't even go into the banks and actually withdraw what you need for your family. What position would that put you in? I would definitely say if the lights go out, how would you be able to manage your everyday life? You don't want to be caught off guard. This is not anything to scare you. This is actual truth. The thing is that people are scared because they're not prepared. It's one thing that we say here is that never scared, always prepare. Prepare yourselves accordingly, everyone. And this may be some of the, you know, I don't know how this is going to end out, but I know it's going to continue to move into a direction where they're going to leverage their will against the people of the world. And most likely, the people of the world, as in the past, will surrender to that overall malevolent agenda. That's just what we've been doing for so long. But that doesn't have to be you, your family, and our overall community. And if we position ourselves correctly, then we will be able to leverage ourselves into where the prosperity of the past that has been lost can return to us again. So I just wanted to say that to you all, and I'm going to turn this over to Brother Davis. If Brother Davis is there, if you would, Brother Davis, I can't see the board, so if you would.
It's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Yes, it is. Brother Davis, thank you so much for what you and Sister Davis do. And Brother Davis, time flies, goes by so fast. It was 3.5 years ago that we had a phone conversation in which we both agreed that we needed to bring information to the people. And yeah, that's what you've been doing. And I so appreciate it. I know you remember that phone conversation that we had. It was in the spring. It was in the spring. And I just want to thank you, Brother Davis, for you being you and all of the Tando Radio Show listeners for being here and wanting to do things differently because we can. We have that power to do it. As Brother Davis always say, if you believe, you can achieve, and that is so true. So I'm going to hand this over to you, Brother Davis. Thank you so much. Much love, much respect to you and Sister Davis, and let's stay in touch.
Yes, brother. Yes, thank you very much. Brothers and sisters, welcome and good evening. We got a very powerful show for you here tonight, and one of the things I want to point out to you right away is that you become an operative part of every decision you make. So tonight's show, the first part, my lovely wife is going to bring a little more insight on downsizing. Why? Because you got a lot of stuff. If you dump right now, you can convert that into tools. Tools being money, tools being resources, whatever. But the last part of the night will be called a muster. What is a muster? A muster is when all of the major leaders in a party come together and discuss their strategy and how to prepare to implement it. So, without any further ado, let me turn you over to my wife, Erica.
Welcome, 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 Tando family. It's a pleasure to talk with you this evening. My husband's going to give me like the first hour or so to just go over some things about downsizing. Now, the reason I wanted to do this show, especially tonight about downsizing, is that, of course, we know in the media there's a lot of talk, rumors of war, war itself, political structures, all this stuff is all kind of coming to a head, and a lot of people's wondering what the futures are going to be like. Well, if you're a Tando listener, even if you can only tune in a few times a week, you will know that I don't want to say count down, I'm going to say count up, because we're counting up to the threshold of all this stuff coming to a head. So, if, like I said, if you're a Tango listener, you already know that these things are starting to unfold, and the value of things is going to start to change. People are going to change. You can see our political structures changing. So that's why I wanted to do downsizing at this time. Now, I'm calling this show Downsize to Upsize. Downsize being to get rid of things that you no longer need or have a necessity for, and upsizing meaning to adhere to add to your life things that you need. Now, we all kind of have closets or basements or attics or that have a whole bunch of cluttered things that are just kind of sitting there. You think, well, eventually you're going to use it. Maybe you'll use it another day. Maybe you're going to sell it, that type of thing. Well, now it's getting to be time that we need to start tackling these little projects. With it being springtime, that's a great time to downsize. Why? Because a lot of other people are doing it. The weather's starting to break. We have longer evenings of sunshine, and you just have that renewedness of spring and wanting to change and clean out and declutter. And so all those forces kind of work positively for a situation like this. But if you're a Tando listener, you have a little bit more edge than the regular John or Joanne, you know, just the average person, the average Joe. The average Joe or Joanne, we have a little bit better edge because we know what the different systems of the finances are doing, the whole gamut. And like I said, if you listen a few times a week or every night, boy, you're on it. You know what's coming down the pipe. So that's why I wanted to go ahead and start this on downsizing. Now, one way to get an idea of downsizing is let's look and see what the upside would be. Right now, it's a good idea to start a survival kit. If you're a Tando listener, you've heard Dave say many times, or you've been on different calls or different shows that we're talking about survival kits, things that you might need to have, a bug out bags, things like that. And if you have a picture in your mind or a list of all the things that you need in this survival kit, now it's not only for you, but it's for your family. So if you've got six kids and a husband and a mother-in-law that live with you, that means you're going to need to accumulate a little bit more than a family that's just a husband and wife. So I would suggest that if you look at, now I just went on the internet. Now, on the Tando show, we did do a show probably about a year ago about a survival list and things that you might need. Now, for any new listeners that do not have access to that list, there's a really good site called offgridsurvival.com. That's offgridsurvival.com. And it gives you just a 101 top suggestions for survival things, such as water bottles, flashlights, multi-tools, pocket knives, emergency food, kits, like, you know, the MREs, first aid kit, a compass, a backpack, sleeping bag, canteen, sewing kits, maps, duct tape, and the list goes on. Like I said, it's 101 things on here. Flares, shovels, water purifiers, storage kits, hiking boots, which is very important. You got to keep the feet. The feet is as important as the mind, believe me, because if you can't walk, forget it. Thermos, chlorine bleach, which you might need to purify water or to kill germs. A tent, a machete for cutting tall grass, salt, especially a mineral salt, iodized salt, but especially something like a pink Himalayan salt, which can also help purify. Different types of LED, maybe a solar lamp, extra socks, gloves, something for the rain, bandanas, something just to keep the sweat away, fire extinguisher. It even has on this list of playing cards. Hey, you know, you don't want to be somewhere and can't take your mind off of what you're doing. You need a little bit of recreation. It even says a Bible, because you might need that Bible to go back and read scriptures to keep you motivated. An AM/FM radio, weather radio, and also even a ham radio. My husband every so often does a show about a ham radio, which is a different type of frequency radio that, he'll have to explain it, but it's something that if the grid goes down and there's communications lost, a ham radio will give you some communication, and he can go over that a little bit more. You need some type of weaponry, maybe like a slingshot, a gun, a bow and arrow, multivitamins, some type of mineral sources for your body, propane, batteries. I mean, so the list goes on, and it's 100. It's 101 things on this list, plus you could always think of additional things. So if you take that list as your upsize, you say to yourself, well, these things are a little expensive. How am I going to afford these? Well, what you need to do is look at the downsides. Just look at what needs to be given away or sold. Not actually given away, but sold. Now, I'm going to tell you a cute little story. When our children were young, our older children, Tony and Jewel, their names, they were very young, and we used to always go to flea markets. My husband and I, from day one, always went to flea markets, walked around. And I guess our son was a little older. I guess he was about 8 years old. And he came across, because whenever we go to flea market, we give them a couple of dollars, and they could spend it their own way. But we always kind of give them an understanding that the value of the money and make a good purchase and things like that. So he went past this this gentleman who had a stereo. It had the speakers. He had it set up. He had it was playing. He had an electrical source, and it was playing music. And our son came running to us, Mom, Dad, look, I want to buy this. I want to buy this stereo. So we were like, well, how much is it? He said, a dollar. I said, a dollar? Okay, well, let's go look at it. So we went over and looked at it, and you couldn't tell him that he wasn't going to buy the stereo. He just knew he wanted the stereo. Well, we looked, and it was an 8-track player. Now, depending on the ages of the people on this call, now, if Scotty's on here, he knows what I'm talking about. Some of the younger ones don't know what I'm talking about. But an 8-track player was in between, is how you record music. It's in between when they had reel-to-reels, which was those big, huge discs that you record music on, or video, or it was video or music. And then it was reel-to-reel, and then the next coming futuristic at that time device was a cassette player, which most of the people on this call know what a cassette player looks like. But in between those two devices, it was something called the 8-track. And it was these little boxes, I guess about 6 inches long, a little bit bigger than a 5x7 post photo. And it had different tracks on it, and you could record music on it. And it was state-of-the-art. You had one. Everybody had one. Everybody and their mother at that time, early 80s or so, had one. You had one in your car. You had one at the home. You had one in the bedroom. Everybody had one. You could record your own 8-track music on it. You could share it and everything. Well, my son, our son, wanted this thing. And we were trying to tell him, no, honey, no, no, you don't want this because it's obsolete. And he said, what is obsolete? What is that word? And we said, that's something that had value, but now it no longer has value. And he's looking kind of puzzled because he was like 7 or 8. And we were saying, no, it's not something that you want. But to him, in his eyes, it was all shiny and new. Of course, the man selling it was all excited. He had about 100 tapes that came along with it, but he was, of course, selling it for a dollar. Why? Because it was obsolete. And believe me, I don't even know if he sold it because didn't nobody want it. Either you already had one that was in your basement that you were trying to get rid of, or you just didn't want it because now technology had went forward and you didn't need it any longer. And I'm telling you that story. Well, after a while, we did drag our son away from it, and he didn't buy it, and we gave him an understanding of why, and it took him a little bit to understand, but we did not buy it because it was obsolete. There was no reason to junk our house with it. So I'm saying that story to give you the understanding that when things are obsolete and they have no value, they have no value. It doesn't matter how cheap, how pretty, it just if it's no value in it, it's no value at any price. And that's what downsizing, in a sense, and for us here on Tando Show, right now, we have an advantage of knowing that in the near future, some of the things that we're using in technology or furniture, different things are going to be obsolete because we're going to be going into a different type of mental, physical, and spiritual mode once a war starts. Because once war starts, everything has a different type of value. Not that nothing is valuable, it's just that everything has a different type of value. And right now, to since most of the people who are not listening to this show and different naysayers that are out there that we try to talk to say, hey, you know, this is coming down the pike. Oh, no, everything's going to be okay. Our number 45, and we all know who that is. Oh, he's got a plan to make America great. Everything's going to fall into place. Well, we know in a Tando show that we better have all of our ducks in a row. So this is the Ducks in a Row show, giving us the understanding what is going to be obsolete. So guess what? Let's start getting rid of some of that stuff that perhaps will be, I'm not even going to say perhaps, but will be obsolete in very near future. Scotty, is it about time for a break? No? Can they hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Breaks
oh,
are
oh, okay.
Top of the hour in the last half hour. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I'll continue. So I do just want to kind of go over, like I said, that survival list that I gave you, and you can pick that up online. There's a lot of sites. You could just Google survival list, and they're all come up. That'll give you a full picture of some of the things that you need. And in that, that'll give you a better idea of the things that you don't need. For example, probably most of us all have flat screen TVs now, but some of us might still have the other tube TV with the big butt in the back, maybe sitting down in the basement, you know, sitting somewhere. Well, some people do use those as value. Some people do want them. Some people use them. Some people take different types of copper and things out of there, and they use them. So you could possibly sell them to somebody for $5 or $10. You have one or two of them in the basement gathering dust in the closet. You know it's not any value to you, but you could sell it to somebody that says, hey, you know, I'll come pick it up. At least anywhere you'd be getting space from where it's at, and sell it for $5 or $10. $5 or $10 can help you with something else that you might need. Now, with downsizing, that's the type of thing you got to look at. Look around and see what you have. Plus, downsizing is always nice just to declutter. When you declutter your surroundings, in a sense, you're decluttering your mind and your spirit. Some of those things that, you know, you might have had from an old relationship or someplace that you used to live, it's just cluttering your mind. I know when my husband and I, we used to live in Southern California for a while, and we had a lot of friends that were Japanese. And one thing, when you would go to their homes, they always invited us to their home. Their homes were very, very spacious with little, virtually no clutter, like never. I don't think I've ever seen nothing cluttered. They had exactly what they needed and exactly what they used. And it looked a little different than most homes that you would go to. Most homes would have, you know, real stuffy furniture and a lot of trinkets here and there. And they just didn't have that. I'm not saying that they were perfect people because they didn't have it. I was just telling you the dynamics of what it just looked different, that we would go there and they just had virtually no clutter. They just had exactly what they needed. And I was pretty impressed by that. That was impressive because it was a different lifestyle that I wasn't used to having. And in our household, I don't want to say we had a lot of clutter, but we did have a lot of accumulated things. You know, we always had a garage full of things, attic full, basement full. Every so often, my mother or my dad would go and clean things out, but it always seemed like we always kind of held on to something. So once you start to declutter your mind, it really helps you spiritually because you're not only letting go of things that you don't need, but some things, some material things come with a certain type of spiritual connection to you. And sometimes that's just considered baggage and you need to get rid of it. So let's just go back down to the understanding. Once you start trying to downsize, you might go in your room in an attic or a basement and say, okay, now I'm overwhelmed. All this stuff that's here. How do I declutter? What's important? What do I need? What don't I want? And how are we going to do this? I always suggest that if you're going to declutter or downsize and you have a family, make it a family affair because some other family members might have a value or see a value in something that you don't. You go getting rid of certain things, other people, you're throwing the stuff out, and they digging in the trash trying to take the stuff out. believe me, it happens in families. People don't, they're not always on the same page. So I would start out with the husband and wife or the parents of the family, kind of sit down, talk about this is what we're going to do, pick some time, pull some time aside, decide what you're going to do. Get the kids involved. One way to get the kids involved is let them know that, hey, you got a bunch of toys or videotapes or things, shoes and things in your closet that you don't want. Let's sell them. And whatever money you make on your stuff, you keep. That usually gets kids motivated. Kids sometimes don't ever think about getting rid or downsizing their things because they just don't think about it. They always think of accumulating and not downsizing. But that's something you could get the kids very much involved with, toys that they have that they're no longer playing with, books that they've read and they don't want to read over and over, clothes and shoes. But if you give them a chore, well, not a chore, but if you give them a project and tell them, hey, you get rid of X, Y, and Z, whatever you get, you can keep. That will really motivate a child. Sometimes that's what will motivate a husband or a wife. Hey, you get rid of all these extra whatever, and you can add that to something else you want. And a lot of people don't put the downsize and the upsize together. They always look at downsizing as dragging and negative and, oh, my gosh, I got to get rid of this. No, downsizing is really uplifting, getting rid of things. Having additional space, having additional finances, plus, you know, just going forward instead of dragging. So let's talk about how to get started. I like to look at things. This is how I'm an organizer. I've always been an organizer all my life. As a child, I was an organizer, probably because my grandmother was an organizer and I used to be around her a lot. My grandmother, she was born in 18. I was just kind of going over some of my grandmother earlier today, kind of getting ready for the show. She was born in 1900, and she passed away in 1988 at the age of 88. And so she lived through the Depression. She was 30 years old, and 29 and 30. She was 29 and 30 years old when the Depression hit. She had a son, who was my dad, who was born in 1930. So, of course, when that Depression hit, it hit the family, it hit the jobs, it hit, you know, the finances, you know, they had a food line, they, you know, the whole bit. At that time, if you didn't downsize prior to the Depression, most things now in your house was obsolete, like that 8-track player. Most, if you tried to go out and sell all these little trinkets that you had in your house, they had no value to anybody. Nobody wanted them. They wanted sugar. They wanted, you know, food. They wanted things like jars that they could preserve things in. And once 1929 came and the Depression hit and everything went away, everything had a different type of value, unless you were very, very wealthy. But the general average families had to regroup on everything from their finances to medical to their jobs, eating, you know, at that point, nothing was thrown out. There was, you know, you ate leftovers till there was nothing left over. You know, you wore the same clothing because you could not purchase new clothing. So everything was turned upside down. So those early years, some of that my grandmother didn't really explain to me that it was a depression per se, but what she did do was show me the value in things. Later on in her life, she worked as a housekeeper, I guess. She did day's work. They didn't call it housekeeping. They call it day's work. She'd leave in the morning, go and clean people's houses, and she called that day's work. And I didn't really quite understand that she was somebody's housekeeper until I was older. But one time I did ask her, because she taught me about organizing. And she said because she is in other people's homes, when she cleans and organizes things, she always puts like things together. Meaning that if the person in the home was looking for something that she might have moved or might have organized, they already knew that like things would be together. So all of the things that were the same were together. They were neatly arranged, but they were together. So she kind of taught me that theory of like things, keep like things together. And I've kind of picked that up as my organizing skill. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we were home, and we have this little garage, and it's full of stuff that I have to downsize. I'm not just telling you guys about it. I'm looking at the mirror. We're doing the same thing too, and I was cleaning out the garage, and it's over by where my dad lives, the property that near he where he lives, and he came over earlier, and he saw this garage that looked totally a mess. And a couple hours later, he came back, and it was completely organized, and he was a little, he was pretty impressed by it. And he kind of said, well, where's all the stuff? And I said, well, Dad, you know, I put all the light things together. And, you know, and what I like to do is I like to build up. If you're in a situation where you don't have much space, I like to do shelves. I'll go to yard sales and things and buy shelving units so that I could build up as opposed to building out. So I get a lot of little shelving units, and I put all the same things on the shelf together. Like, example, I do all my tools together. In this garage, I had all of my books and ledgers and things together. I had all the one of the things I had that was all together that my husband and my dad looked at is that I had all the things like gloves to do gardening, or gloves, because we're truck drivers, so you always got to have gloves, and different gloves and things were all together in a basket, and different boots that we use in the snow, or different boots that we have because we're truck drivers, were all together. And he kind of, you could very easily walk through and see all things together. So guess what? When I downsize, I'll just go back to these little organized areas, and I'll go through them and see what's in that area that I'll pull off that shelf. And sometimes things are in boxes and areas, but I try to like to have everything very visual, so I like to build up. But that's the precursor to the next time I go home and I start to downsize. I'll go to those little sections, and I'll pull those things out, put them in a box, and away they go. And sometimes before you actually downsize, you have to kind of organize. I would suggest if it's truly a heirloom to the family, something that's priceless and you know you want to keep, pull that aside and don't put it with the rest of the stuff. Pull that aside and put that in another area, because you'd be surprised what you might lose in the transaction. Sometimes this box is over there and you have somebody that's going to come pick up something, and this valuable box is a little close to the unvaluable boxes, and you just say, oh yeah, all that stuff over there in the corner, you could take all of that. And here you're running after the truck because they took your grandmother's heirloom furniture piece, you know, trinket, and they thought that it was part of the other downsizing, and here you're running after the truck trying to retrieve it. So things that you already know that you want to keep, put them aside. I cannot emphasize that enough, because a lot of times once something's gone, you'll never get it back. So that's part of downsizing. Like I said, get your children involved, get the husband involved, see what value things have. If you're not sure what a valuable thing is, you could Google it. You could go on, you could take your item, and you can look on it, see what it is, if there's a name or anything or date or anything of value to it. And you could Google it on Google, and you'll be able to see the type of value it has. Or you can go, if it's antiques, you could go to antique dealers, see what it is. I would suggest not to get anything, don't give anything away that is made of copper, silver, of course gold. If you have anything that's platinum, now sometimes you don't know if things are real silver, and you don't know if things are real copper. Everything that looks like a copper color could be painted to look like copper, or is a very low grade of copper or a low grade of silver. So it's always important to kind of put those things aside so that you can take more time to research before you just throw everything out. Well, So that's something that you want to put aside. I for one, know that when I go to yard sales, or especially garage sales, I look for things that are silver. A lot of times, things that are silver are so badly tarnished that it just looks like a piece of junk. It just is, it looks really bad. You can't see etching on it. It's just smoke colored black, and you have to, most people don't know it's silver. They might have gotten a box of something from somebody else, and they're just getting rid of it at a yard sale or a garage sale. And I like to look at that type of they can't hear me? And something like a piece of silver that is tarnished or something, a lot of people don't know how valuable it is. I always kind of do the ping test to see, I ping it, see if it's true silver. I look at it. I'm sorry, my husband's kind of talking at me about, we're on two different phones and he lost the signal, so I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked. We are traveling. We get ready to pull over, though, so we're more stationary. But about the silver, a lot of times when I go to an older type of garage sale and I see something that I think is silver, I don't have that shocked look in my face like, oh, wow, look at this piece of silver that they're selling for $2. They don't they know? Yeah, keep a nice calm face. don't let your expression show the value of something, because instead of it being $2, it now is $20. So, you know, just kind of say, I usually pick up an item, kind of fool around with it, make it look like, oh, this piece of junk here. You know, I usually kind of throw it together with something else that looks like junk. I go to the person, oh, you know, how much you went for this stuff? You know, this stuff in this, you know, like in a little basket or something. And they say, oh, you know, take $5 for the whole thing. Okay, all right. So I give them a little $5. I get in the car and go, yes, you know, because I know it's silver. I know I take it home, take some silver polish to it, and I've got somebody's unfortunate heirloom probably that is very valuable, piece of silver or copper. So, but like I said, if I went in there with all of my Julius type look in my face like I've got this fantastic find, that's going to give them a heads up. I also suggest if you go to yard sales, try to go to the junky-looking yard sales, not the ones that are selling a whole bunch of a lot of nice new stuff, because chances are if it's a lot of nice new stuff, they're downsizing, like I'm explaining you all to do downsizing, they're also downsizing. So I like to go to the yard sales, or especially the garage sales or the estate sales that look look like a bunch of junk. When you drive up to it, you see like old-looking tractors or old farm equipment, junk, you know, big boxes of mason jars and stuff like that. It just looks like a bunch of ma-and-pa kettle kind of stuff, real old. Those you will find a lot of times some of the best treasures. Sometimes you'll find different type of equipment that you need, like different tools that you normally can't find that you might need. You'll find stuff like mason jars. Mason jars are very valuable. Nowadays, a lot of people are going back to glass. They're going back to using mason jars. Mason jars are kind of indestructible. You can freeze them. You can heat them. You can't heat them to a high degree, but you can freeze things in them, and they are worth their weight in gold. Usually when you see a mason jar, it doesn't have a top to it, but you can always buy the tops, because when they use the mason jars as to preserve something, the jar top kind of expands, and once you open it, it's kind of done. So a lot of times you see jars, mason jars without the tops. Get as many mason jars as you can find. They are priceless. Even if you resell them, even if you keep a bunch and resell them, they're very valuable. And nowadays, they're getting to be a little harder to find because people are seeing the value in mason jars. But I like to especially go to estate sales that are, you know, just walk through. You know, I have an eye. Both my husband and I now kind of have an eye. I can kind of do a quick walk through, see what I want, and keep it moving. But as far as downsizing on your own, I would still suggest go through the things that you want to get rid of. You can have your own little yard sale out front if you like, or you could go to like a flea market type thing, have a yard sale, you know, sell all your items. But it's important to really have a mindset prior to going that you're doing as a project to go forward, you know, to go up, to use with your finances to buy the things that you need in your survival kit. I would also suggest that Like I said, take your children along with you, especially younger children with you. They can do the math. They can help you with little pads. You know, get them involved so that they can see it's a family affair, kind of have a upbeat approach to it, because it is upbeat. If you go in there thinking, oh, this is a negative, I got to get rid of my stuff, or, you know, woe is me, you probably won't even sell anything. But have a good attitude. And like I said, right now, the average person doesn't see all that's coming down the pike. They're kind of the naysayers. So they might buy a lot of stuff, and then it's their problem. You know, if you've graduated from that, and now you're using it to buy things that you need, and the people who have bought your things that you don't need, now they're stuck with them. I do like to tell a lot of the ladies, I'm not a real pocketbook person. I have one or two really nice pocketbooks, but other than that, I don't buy the very expensive purses. And some women do, and I don't have a problem with that. Do what you got to do. But when the rubber hits the road, all those purses will probably be obsolete. And go to your friends. A lot of your friends that admire your purses, hey, have a purse sale, a purse exchange, you know, where you can set out all these beautiful purses. The average one usually is $50 to $60 and up, and do a purse exchange. You know, do that with friends and family that you know that like purses. You know, don't just take it to a regular yard sale, because most people look at a purse and they think it's worth $5, and you're like, no, it's a $100 purse, excuse me. And and you'd be surprised that if you go to your friends that kind of admire some of the things that you've had, they'd be the one to pay the value that they know it is. Now, you could also tell them to listen to the Tando show so they can have a better understanding, but most of those people say, oh, I don't have time. You know, I don't want to listen to that. I want to keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, spending money and just doing what I'm doing, and don't want to really conform to what's coming down the pike. Well, unfortunately, those are the people that are going to buy your things that are obsolete, soon to be obsolete. We got to do what we have to do, because unless you have a pretty good nest egg, when you look at that survival list, you're going to say, I better get some things in gear here. Because like Dave said on many occasions, and many of us on the Tando Show listeners, we have our little survival kits going. You know, we know what's important, and we've been planning for a little bit of time. Don't worry if you haven't started. Don't worry that you're just now hearing this for the first time and you're thinking, well, what do I do? How do I start? Well, like I said, if you get this survival list, you'll have an idea of things. Probably a lot of these things you already have. You just might not have them all in one place. They might be in the basement, the attic. You might have like a little hiking kit or something, a canteen or something somewhere. You just don't have them all together. But now's the time, since you know what's coming down the pike, start putting those things together. So I did want to add that. You can also go to, like I said, the estate sales are really nice, because estate sales give just everything that's in the whole estate all goes on sale at once. You might have furniture, sometimes it's cars, boats, that type of thing. Then there's more valuable antiques. Sometimes they have clothing. It's the whole estate, and sometimes that might take like a whole day to get through. But you'd be surprised just going through it. You know, even if you don't plan on buying anything, just get used to kind of keeping an idea lookout for that. Just like you go to Walmart shopping, my husband and I, we've been doing estate sales and yard sales shopping for like eons. Believe me, when I have to go to a store and buy something brand new, or I do it, but I know the value of things that are valuable. I tend to, it's just something I picked up along the way, and I've kind of taught my husband. Actually, he wasn't as skilled as I was in the beginning, but he's up there now with me. He's right there with me, because he sees through my eyes and through example the things that he probably would have walked right past. One of the things I like to do is go to this one thing. It's called most cities have them. It's called Habitat for Humanity, where they do habitat homes, where they have builders that get rid of building supplies, and it's like a building supply flea market or yard sale, where they put all of the building supplies together. Is it break time? My husband's the timekeeper. Scotty, is it a break time?
We can go. We're 3 minutes early, but we can go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead with the break, and I'll talk about the Habitat for Humanity on the other side of the break.
All right. I'm just going to let the listeners know you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network. This is the Tando Radio Show, broadcasting Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Back to you, Sister Davis.
Okay, now also we're back, and like I said, I just want to go over briefly the Habitat for Humanity Restore Project. Most of the cities are getting them, where builders' supplies get rid of all the things that they don't want. We have one in the city that we're from, and every time I'm home, I frequent it. The last time I was there, just my last time home, they had surgical gloves. The surgical gloves, like in the hospital, really nice surgical gloves. And I think it was 100 to a box, and they had the whole box for $2. So I bought $10 worth of those boxes. They were medium and large. Now you'd say, well, what are you going to do with all those gloves? Well, gloves, things that protect your body are worth its weight in gold. Things that protect your feet and things that protect your hands. You can use them for cleaning or for soil. You can use it for all kinds of almost anything that covers your hands, not only your hands but children's hands, or you're picking up some type of gook. So to me, when I saw the gloves sitting there, nobody went to the gloves but me. There was all these gloves, and like everybody walked past them, and I'm like, okay. And when I went up to the cash register, the lady, she kind of commented. She's like, okay, you have a project coming up? And I said, well, no, I just, you know, something that you need are gloves. And she said, yeah. And she went over, she said, you know what, I am going to go over there and pull a few off the shelf myself, because something like gloves, it's just worth the weight in gold. You know, once your hands are damaged or your feet are damaged for whatever reason, it will make a big impact. Also, what I like about these little shops like that is that they have a lot of tools. You think you might have a Phillips screwdriver and a flathead or whatever, but every time you need one, you can't find one. If they have them for $1, I buy all four or six or whatever. A lot of times they're looking kind of rusty, but if it's a tool, it's still valuable. A lot of craftsmen, if you can buy a Craftsman tool that has a Craftsman logo on it, you can go to a Craftsman store and trade that in, because they have a lifetime guarantee. Now, I do want to say that if anybody has any questions, concerns, you have your own little downsizing story you want to share, please give us a call, 866-510-9025. And 'cause I know somebody on this call has downsized their clothes, downsized their mind, downsized music, downsized their cars, whatever. Please call in if you have any questions or concerns. Now, I do want to just hit back real quick about the Habitat for Humanity. One of the things I like when I go there is they have really good nails. Sometimes you don't need a whole big, huge box of 1,000 nails. You need maybe 25 good nails. And they have them in bags, you know, and they're very cheap. I mean, quality nails that are maybe galvanized, the kind that don't rust, things like that. And I always like to think to have nails and hammers and screwdrivers around in case you have to shield yourself in your house. For example, if there's a riot that starts up, you know, they're going around breaking windows, knocking down doors, you need to be able to either shield yourself into something or shield yourself out. For example, if you need to do, another thing I always tell people to do on a survival kit is when you go to the Home Depot and those places, start measuring your windows and get plywood for your windows. Because if a riot or something breaks out, or even a bad storm, it doesn't even have to be a riot. It could just be, you know, bad winds and, you know, our weather is changing. So to run out to the Lowe's to buy and cut plywood is just for one thing, it's expensive at that time, at the last minute. Plus, you probably won't get waited on. Plus, you probably don't know your measurements. And plus, you probably don't have any help to help you. So I always, what we've done, like especially at my dad's house, when we visit in Pennsylvania, we visit my dad, we went around and measured all the windows, and we purchased different pieces of plywood. I put on it on each piece, like if it's a three-pane window, pane A, B, and C, so it's easier to, because sometimes the measurements are a little off. And then what we did, my husband thought to drill holes on the corners so that when you hammer the nail in, you have less hammering to do in case you have to do it in a quick and hurry. So those type of things you might want to start building with your survival kit, having plywood. You can't do it all at once, but maybe once a month pick up four or five pieces, quality pieces. Sometimes you could go to building supplies and they almost give it away. Sometimes you can hit flea markets or yard sales, those types of places. They have plywood sitting there. If it's not the right measurement, you can break it down. You know, sometimes they have 2x4s. Don't look at everything like, well, I'm not building a structure, but sometimes you might have to use a 2x4 up against your window to keep somebody out. Because once all this hits the fan, there's going to be some rioting and there's going to be some looting. And you don't have to be caught up in that if you think ahead of time. That's another part of downsizing, to do the upsizing. Now, I do also want to go over, if nobody has any calls, I do want to go over a couple of notes that I wrote about, are you pulling off? Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me.
It appears, Davis, that you have a call. Give me just a second. Area code 424.
Oh, okay.
Did you go ahead with your question or comment for Sister Davis?
Oh, hi, Sister Davis. This is Jada. How are you from Atlanta?
Hi, Jada. How are you doing? Nice that you gave us a call. How are you and your family?
Everybody's fine. How's Mr. Davis, Brother Davis, doing?
Oh, he's
hi,
doing
Brother
great.
Scotty. Sorry. He's doing great.
Yes, he's doing great. He's driving. We're hanging in there.
Your show is awesome. I'm glued to it, and I'm writing down and taking notes. I have one question. Well, actually, two. It was about the hiking boots, because I have small children and then teenage children. So how do you look for the hiking boots? Because that was one thing that because I know some of them are very expensive. So how do you look for hiking boots?
It's funny that you say that, because I just bought 4 pair of hiking boots from Walmart that were $5 a piece, and they were all $35 a piece. They're on clearance right about now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I bought them to fit, 2 pair fit me, and then I just used my own foot, and then 2 pair were too big. So, and this time of year, because we travel, one of the things I do when I do go to Walmart, I look for all the clearance items. I especially go to the shoes. There might be still some left right now, but just keep an eye out. You might want to check out Bass Pro. They put a lot of things on clearance, kind of run of the mill. Right now, this is a good time of getting rid of the winter things, and then the summer things are coming in. At Walmart, I saw a lot of, like, long johns were, like, $2, and, some of the vests and things were very, very cheap. A lot of that stuff is on clearance coming down right now. But, yeah, the shoes were $5. They were, I was so tickled.
Wow.
I showed my husband, we were just walking through, and I was like, wow, look at these boots. Was the year before, we were in Texas, and we was right around this time of year, and they had a lot of shoes on sale. And I mean, sister, let me tell you, I bought about 30 pairs of shoes. They were all kinds of shoes and boots, and they were all $3, $3 and less. And I put them all in my purse. And I walked through, and my husband was looking at me, and he was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to fit these shoes. And a lot of them were the hiking boots or the snow boots. They were all kind of sizes. I didn't care what size they were. I threw them all in a cart. As a matter of fact, when I put them in the truck, there was shoes and boots were everywhere. And when I went home, I put them all in the garage. And matter of fact, I'm not sure if I have pictures of them. I might have gotten rid of pictures. I took pictures of them and sent it to my kids for their grandkids. And I said, well, which ones, here's the sizes, which ones do you think, they had to pick the litter, which ones you want, not just pick this year, pick up next year. They also had, what do you call those, soccer shoes and baseball cleats. They were awesome. And you know, when you look for baseball cleats,
hello, Sister Davis?
Yeah, Sister Davis, you appear to have dropped off. I mean,
oh,
you're still on the board, but we can't hear her.
Oh, she probably had a bad spot. Hi, Brother Scotty. How are you, sir?
Coming back right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She should be coming in anytime. Come off your...
Yeah, here I am. I'm back.
Okay.
But,
yeah, so... Hold on. Here it is. You're off.
Okay.
Off. Hold on. Okay. So like I said, they were baseball, all kinds of stuff. So what I did is I flipped them. That was another thing I was going to talk about with downsizing, especially kids things. I went to this store called Once Upon a Child, and I took them all, and that's a consignment store for kids. Oh, kids
mm-hmm.
and young kids, children, babies, children, and young adults. And I went there. That was my first place I took them. And they looked at them, and they gave me a price, and I was like, eh, okay, put them back in the basket. I'm going to take them with me. Their price wasn't good enough. And then I went to another consignment shop, and they gave me top dollar. I made, like, triple on my investment. I made like
wow.
And they were brand new. They were brand new. And so that happens about this time of year. If you missed it this time, it'd come back around. It'd come back around. Wait a minute, I'm getting too much feedback. Wait a minute, let me see. Hold on. Here, fix the phone, dear.
Yeah, Brother Davis has to leave his phone muted. You're both too close to each other. That's where the feedback's coming
from.
You
got to mute yours. Just hang up yours. Hello? Am I still here?
Yes. I'm still okay.
So that's one of the things I wanted to share about with the downsizing is you can also go to the Once Upon a Child and buy quality items that are pretty cheap also. Yeah. And in the summertime, you'll see a lot of stuff that is winter in the summer. I mean, you're standing in these yard sales sweating, and you'll see this big, all these boots, and you'll see a whole bunch of sweaters and stuff that they're getting rid of because it's summertime. They're getting rid of their winter things. And they almost give it away because they don't want to lug that stuff back. But the average person's not thinking winter. They're thinking summer, especially when it's like 90 degrees and you're standing in somebody's front yard looking at boots. You know, they're pretty much almost give them away. Mm-hmm.
And my second question is because Atlanta is noted for like brown recluse and black widows and those gross mosquitoes that tear your tail up. What can we do? Like, let's say, for example, if the crap hits the fan and then we do have to go in the woods, how do you make it so you don't get bit by a spider? Because those things are, like, treacherous. If you don't have the proper things that could kill you, so how would you deal with that?
Well, one thing that I know that in your system, if you take any type of garlic, depending on what type of essential oils you're using, either essential oils, sometimes vitamins, minerals will give your body a salty taste to these bugs. Or I know garlic will sometimes excrete through your skin, and a lot of mosquitoes don't like the garlic. There is a type, I saw on the internet that there is a vitamin, I'm not sure exactly the vitamin, you can research it, that if you take it, it will definitely make the mosquitoes not bite. But in that type of situation, you also have to stay covered. Duct tape is worth its weight in gold. That's something that everybody needs to have, because especially with snakes and bugs that can get up underneath your clothes, you can duct tape your, socks, pull your socks above your pants, duct tape it there, if you have gloves, things like that, you can use a lot of duct tape to be the barrier that connect two things together. And but yeah, you're right. As far as bugs and flies and but you can Google that. There's a lot of holistic things you can use, a lot of essential oils. And I know a lot of people who eat sweets, believe me, a lot of people who have a sweet type aroma to their body, sweat, tend to get eaten up a little more than the average person.
Okay.
If you think about young children being sweeter because they eat a lot of candy, as opposed to an older, elderly person who pretty much doesn't eat a lot of eat a lot of sweets. You, very seldom do you see like elderly people with like whelps of mosquito bites. They just
That's
don't
true.
Bite them. It's either between the medication that they're on or the food that a person's eating, or a lot of lotions and things. I use a lot of shea butter, and I tend not to get bit. Every so often I will get bit. I'm not going to say I don't, but people use also apple cider vinegar on your skin also helps deter the bugs. Skin So Soft. I don't know if you ever use Skin So Soft from Avon. That's about the only Avon
no.
product
okay.
that I bought. Skin So Soft is wonderful. Skin So Soft, they say that it was tested in the Amazon. And I used
what?
To be a skin, yeah, it was tested in the Amazon, Skin So Soft. And, like, especially if you bathe in it, you know, just toward the end of your bath, just put, like, a capsule in it. And it's like an oil, but it's a very distinctive fragrance. And that's supposed to, I used to use that for years. I haven't used it so much because now I use more shea butter. But Skin So Soft is good. And you can put it in a pump bottle, mix it with a little bit of water, and spray it on your children. Because that other stuff like Off and DEET is hazardous. I mean, you can use it if you have to, but it is very toxic. But it can be used, but it is very toxic. But I know when we were living in South Carolina and I had children, our grandchildren a lot, I usually just keep the Skin So Soft in a pump bottle and I'd spray, just spray them as they go out, and we really didn't have any problems with it. Yep, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good point. So try it. Try it this next go around. You can even put the Skin So Soft on your animals, and it helps keep the fleas.
Wow.
Yeah, the fleas and mosquitoes and bugs off the animals. And it smells really good. It smells, it's a very distinctive smell. Very good. It's, as a matter of fact, they start to sell it. Skin So Soft is now very popular in the springtime. I usually just, back in the day, I would just buy the biggest container that they had. It runs about $20, and I'd have it for like a year because you just use a tiny, tiny bit. And it's called Skin So Soft by Avon. Yes. Yep. And a lot of the Avon representatives know that, and they will push that product once the weather breaks and it starts getting warm. They'll push that product because it is very good for mosquitoes. Yep.
Well, Sister Davis, thank you so much. Those are the questions that I had. I appreciate it. I was listening, and I said, wow, see, there's so much information. So you try to jot down as much as you can. But, you know, when it comes, like you said, your hands and your feet, you know, and making sure you don't get, you know, bitten by, you know, bugs that, you know, you get fever and all that. So you have to be
right.
very...
Yes. Yeah,
careful.
The shoes are very important. You can sometimes go to some of the church bazaars, the rummy sales. Believe me, I, you know, you can get a pair of boots, even if they don't fit. You could trade them for something else. You know what I mean? You could trade them with somebody else that you know wears that size. Believe me, in our little garage, I have about 6 pair of boots that are just sitting there, Just sitting there, just in case, because the feet have to stay dry. I also suggest diabetic socks, if you could find them. I buy my diabetic socks at the Dollar Tree because we are truck drivers, and because when we wear socks in the wintertime, you'll get the band around your leg. Neither of us are diabetic, but you will get a band because you're sitting for so long. You get that little band around your leg that's a little swollen right there. The diabetic socks are nice and stretchy. So I buy nothing but, I threw out all the other socks. I buy nothing but diabetic socks. And we're not even diabetic. But they're nice quality socks that are nice and stretchy that don't cut off your circulation.
Thank you. I never thought about that because I go through that too, where your feet swell at the bottom because
Diabetic socks at the Dollar Tree. They have white and black, and they're you know, a dollar piece. And they wash well. They're very, we have a whole wardrobe of these diabetic socks. And a lot of times, a couple of times a year, we'll give, like, to the homeless veterans and stuff, and I'll buy 2 or 3 dozen of those socks, because if the sock is cutting off your circulation, especially, like, for homeless people, that can cost them their life, believe me, if something's cut off on their legs. Yeah. So the diabetic socks are excellent to keep handy. And the Dollar Tree has them. You can get them maybe at Walmart. I bought some of the Walmart brand, but I like the Dollar Store brand a little better. They just wash a little bit better. So I purchased them from there. But those are very handy. Like I said, gloves, quality shoes, things for your feet. You can always to waterproof some of your shoes. You can use. Or boots, you can use a plastic bag. You can also do a process where you can melt candle wax on your shoes. I saw that on a little hack that was on Facebook. You could use candle wax and smooth that out on your shoes, and then use a hair dryer to really melt it in, and you know, rub it in, and your shoes are 100% waterproof. I was kind of impressed by that, you know. But I usually when I buy boots and stuff, I do have the professional spray, and I spray all my boots. I spray them with the waterproof silicone. I spray all the boots with that just in case. But when I saw that little hack using the candle, I was impressed by that, because that's something everybody kind of has.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Anybody on the phone, if there's different little hacks you want, You can Google hacks like in the kitchen, hacks in the bathroom, hacks where they give you little tidbits. They're usually little videos about tidbits that you can use to solve little problems or little issues, and they're really cute. I watched one today that was about using particle pegboard for all kinds of uses, for the kitchen, for the garage. You know, I'm into using a little bit of space, but using the space I have. And those little pegboards, you get all those little holes. You can put, like, nails in all those little holes and have all these little pegs and organize all kinds of things, from scarves to toys to pots and pans. And I just said, wow, that's an excellent hack, you know. So I try to, when I get into a hacking mode, I'll go into Google and I'll say, what are hacks for the kitchen, or hacks on food, or hacks on shoes? And they give you all these little tidbits of stuff you can put in your shoes if your shoes, you know, bother you at your heel, or they bother you at your toe, all kinds of things. There's always somebody out there thinking of some solution to somebody's issue. So they're called hacks. But while I have you on the phone, I'm just going to move on a little bit and talk about children real quick.
Okay.
I do want to relate to the listeners that one thing which is important with all this coming down the pike, because everything's not going to unfold overnight. We're going to have some time to work some things out in our homes and families before everything really hits the fan. But one thing I think everybody should do is make sure you know where your children are. Absolutely, no matter what age they are, even if they're spending the night over somebody's house, call them a couple of times. Make sure that if they go on an outing, well, just say they're visiting some friends or family and they go to Dairy Queen for ice cream, hey, give me a call. Let me know when you're going and let me know when you come back. A lot of kids can text the parents so they're not actually talking to them on the phone, and they can let them know where they're at. Another thing I always tell the children, make sure you keep your locators on, you know. Some children don't want to let the parents know where they're at. Well, if I look on your phone or I go to locate you and your locator's off, you won't have phone privilege for a month. And believe me, they're getting their stuff in the gear. Because we have to know, in this situation coming down the pike, we have to know where our children are. Do you have any suggestions on, I know you have 4 children or 3?
I have 4. Mm-hmm.
4. Do you have any suggestions on how you keep track of everybody?
Well, I'm kind of really old school. So a lot of the times the kids come here because their parents aren't paying attention. So I'm kind of like the neighborhood mom. I have a young girl right here right now, and she didn't even know where her child was. So I just got on the phone and was like, hey, your daughter's here.
She was like, oh, okay. She's only 6 years old, you know, the same age as my daughter. Right. So, I mean, as many pedophiles that where I live, I mean, girl. But anyway, I just called her and let her know, and I said I'll walk her home. But I'm very aware of what's going on. I'm like all the eyes and ears, and if I see anything, you know, making sure that you know what your children have on. Because if somebody does walk up to them and you can't tell an officer what they have on, that's a problem. Oh, I don't remember. You should remember. You know, make it a note in your mind. Oh, well, he had a blue shirt on with white socks or shorts or however it goes. Making sure you know what your children are wearing. Making sure that they have, if someone grabs them by the backpack, like I do go over like little things like that. What if somebody grabs your backpack? Are you going to try to run with your backpack? Or are you going to take your backpack off and run? Thing, you know, making sure that anybody that tries to, because you, I mean, you actually see this, or an adult that actually walks up to a person or a young child and tries to talk to them, and I'll walk up to the child and say, do you know this person? They'll say no. I said, well, are you supposed to talk to strangers? No, you're a stranger. Be gone. I've had to do that because that's what we're supposed to do, you know, if you care about your community. One. Number two is anytime you do have your child, if they're able to sleep at someone's house, make sure there's no other adults present. If there's just the mother and the father, you're good friends with them. Is the uncle coming over? Is the cousin? Is the friend coming over? If they're coming over that night, no, you're not spending the night. I don't know them. So it may not be that person, but it may be the other person that's a little shady. So you kind of be, you know, you have to be extra careful. Now, my older son, I don't let him out of my sight at all because he has special needs. And, you know, I notice adults, you know, they know. So they'll, hey, and I tell my children, if I don't initiate, you know, the conversation, no, you do not speak to them. You can say hi out of respect, but do it at a distance. So you have to train them first. Anytime you go out and different things of that nature. And they always, and the key rule is always ask, Ma, can I? Ma, can I? And because it'll be such a habit, even though it can be annoying at times, but it'll save them. Ma, my friend, can I? No. And then you can give them an explanation and let them know, you know, what's going on. I really am not one of those type parents that are like, la-di-da, skippity-doo-da. I do it in their age group, but I let them know that this is not a world for children, you know.
Right.
So
that's a good point. That, especially what you said about the clothing, a lot of times parents don't have an idea. They just don't focus on it. You know, lots going on, and they just don't focus on what a child is wearing. I know with my grandchildren, I tell them don't walk and text on the phone while you're walking. Yeah. You know, because now that's the new thing. Everybody's multitasking, and these children are multitasking too. And, you know, when you're focused on, I'm a real stickler about not walking and texting, even myself, but especially I tell the children that. And also when you get inside of a car, even a child that gets on the, you know, just say the child is in the back seat, you're in the front seat, a lot of people just immediately get on the phone and start texting or talking or calling someone, and they don't even lock the door. And that, and I've seen a lot of videos where people walk right up to you right after you get in the car because you have not locked the door and you haven't moved the car, so the car doesn't lock itself. You know, now the cars will lock if you go 5 miles an hour or something, if they're locked themselves.
Right.
But a lot of people get in the car, oh, I want to let my husband know I'm on my way home. Okay, that's great, but did you lock the door? And you're concentrating looking down, and this person's coming from the back, even if it's in the back seat for a child that's looking down at their device, and boom, they're in your car. So, you know, the best thing is get in your car, and tell the children, get in the car, lock the door before, and, you know, put the seatbelt on, get all engaged before you get on the cell phone. Because, you know, I saw a lot of little videos where people just don't pay that any attention. They just get in the car and start on the phone. And that's like the worst thing that, you know, a lot of parents can do. Also, because of, as things go forward, some of, you know, kids are not going to have a lot of these video games. I'm not saying if the grid goes down, but if the grid does go down or there are similar problems, a lot of children don't know how to regress back to old school board games or cards. Or so I tell young parents, oh, I didn't have to be young parents, but parents in general, every so often introduce some of these games that are not mechanical, that don't have batteries attached, that don't have screensavers. You know, just start to, you know, every so often just have a sit-down night where you just play board games. Some children don't know what a board game is. They don't know what checkers are. They don't know what Uno, I Declare War, just different little things. Because if the worst-case scenario happens, we might be bogged down in our homes for a minute, you know, a couple of weeks at a time, and you don't want that culture shock, and it will be a culture shock just because they don't have a joystick, you know. So we kind of implement little things where we just do a shut 1 week in a month, shut down everything. 1 week in a month, you can play camping in your house. It'd be nice if you could go out and camp, but you can play camping in a house. You can make tents with sheets and, you know, eat out of little cans.
That's
and,
what we
you
used
know, just,
to do.
Yeah, you know, just.
Go ahead, Sister Dave. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my husband said my husband's the timekeeper, and I guess he's looking at I'm using up all his time. But
oh,
Scotty,
sorry.
Saying, no, hold on. And Scotty, is it a break time?
No, we're just going to forego the next break, and but we do plan to end at 45 minutes because I have
okay.
issues on this station, and I had to start it.
Okay, but once again, I just want to add, you know, like I said, you know, play little games, because if the grid goes down, the lights go out, and like I said, it doesn't have to be war. It could just be a bad wind. It could be bad weather. Of course, that kind of stuff happens in the wintertime generally, but sometimes you get these bad gusts of winds in the summer or thunderstorms and things, and the lights go out for a little bit. And a lot of children freak out just because there's no TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
We just have to start conditioning, especially people families on this show who we're a little bit more minded than the average Joe or Joanne, and we need to just slow the paces down. I know when we, because my husband and I live in this truck pretty much all the time, you better believe everything that's in this truck I need because I ain't got no space. So, and every so often, you know, like the last time we were home, we kind of got rid of some of the heavier winter stuff and we started implementing some of the summer stuff, not all of it because we still travel where it's still a little chilly. So, you know, we try to make the trend changes and everything. Because when you're living in a small space that, you know, generally we have electricity in the truck and things, but guess what? One time with this other job we had, the truck was down, the truck was inoperable, it needed to be fixed, and we had nothing. It didn't start, we didn't have any heat, we didn't have any lights in here, we didn't have nothing. And boy, was that a wake-up call? That was a couple of years ago. I said, I will never be in that position again. I will never be in that position again. And it was in this early spring, but we were at like Lake Tahoe or something where it was still winter there. You know, sometimes you just don't think about where you're at as opposed to where you're going. Now, most of everybody, unless you're a truck driver, but you never know, your job might call you out to go to a certain place for a weekend or whatever, and you have to be mindful. Where are you going? What's the weather? What clothes do you have? As long as you have layers, you can really pretty much make it. But you better believe we were sleeping with all the long johns, the socks, the jackets, because we were freezing. Even the dogs were freezing. So, you know, it's always, but that was a nice learning curve for us. When we went to, when we took our children on a RV, 10-day RV, we went in an RV and we took the kids, that was excellent. We told them off the gate, no phones, no cell phones, no video games, no nothing. We were just talking to each other, we were coloring, we were playing board games, we were jumping rope, you know, we had jacks, we just had all kind of, and the kids just loved it. You know, we sat down and asked, how's school, what are you thinking about, what do you want to be when you grow up, stuff that you just don't talk about anymore. We don't have those sit-down dinners and things with families like we used to, you know, but if the worst-case scenario comes, we have to regress to that. And people on the call and families, they just need to be aware, you know, I know one thing we always did with the children and now with the grandchildren is when we're driving, well, for one thing, I don't listen to any kind of rap music or anything like that just because the frequency's too low. I just drive me crazy. But what we do in the car, we turn off the music, and we make all the kids read all the signs. All the signs that they can see. And the older kids can read the bigger signs. The little kids can read the stop signs. So we had our poor one little grandson. He read stop, like, every time we saw a stop sign. You know what I mean? But we had him reading. And then, and that little bit, you'd be surprised, that little bit that just increases their reading capability, and it also helps them read as you're going by. So that means they have to really use their memory skills. And I know with our older children, when they were younger, they're excellent readers. They are excellent readers. 5-year-old. Oh, yeah, yeah. Our little grandson, who's 6, the last time we were out, for one thing, we went to Friendly's and got some ice cream, and he read everything on the menu that he could read. And it was impressive because he's just in first grade. And then on the way home, he was just so insistent that we had to get a book for him to read, you know, because we don't see them all the time. And, I mean, this young boy, he's so excited to read because to him, that's just like what adults do. You know, he wants to be a big boy. But I tell you, that teaching the children to read as you go by, that's really great. Also, we do captions on the TV. All the TVs have captions. You know, everybody has, you know, the flat screens. And we insist that all the TVs, and their parents do it all the time now, we put the captions on. So they're reading the caption, and that teaches them to speed read a little bit because you got to hurry up. Now, some of the younger kids can't keep up, but they can read the words, the three and four-letter words they know. So now what I'm doing with my older granddaughter, who's 12, she wants to learn Spanish. So in her room, I tell her to put the captions in Spanish. And because I speak some Spanish, the last time we were home, I was quizzing her, and I'm impressed because she's never taken a Spanish class, but she's just been doing the Spanish on the caption. So that's a nice way of educating your kids, because I do think a second language, is especially Spanish, will probably be very, very something that they need. And I heard, I don't know if Dave said it, or Scotty, somebody said Mandarin Chinese we might need. So I'm thinking about, that'd be kind of hard to learn, but I might look, see what's on, if there's an app for that. But I do know that I've heard it before, that Mandarin Chinese might be the second language that we might need to learn for whatever reason dealing with war. But downsizing and, like I said, one thing about with children with downsizing is get them involved. Get them involved to let them understand that they can either give their things away to another child that's less fortunate, or they can sell them, teach them math. They can do their own, you know, everything's a dollar or 50 cents, and they can do the math as the person comes up to their table. And that gives them that empowerment, that little entrepreneur thing going on as a child. And then they'll be one that next time you think about cleaning out the garage, they'd be the first ones in there. Hey, what can I sell? You know, but those are the things that, as downsizing, like I said, we're uplifting. And if you kind of look at it that way and keep that mindset, and like I said, have a list of all the things that you want to purchase in the future with your survival kits or your ham radios or your weather band radios, those things are expensive. And I don't know if everybody hasn't noticed, but I think I mentioned on another call that everything is going up. I'm very mindful of how much things cost because I buy the same things a lot over and over for the truck. And everything from the tissues to all kinds of things I've been buying have went up about 25 to 45 cents. And that's a lot at the end of the cash register. That takes you from $20 to 35. It really increases here and there. And it's the same stuff I've been buying. And if it's not the same, what they've been doing too is down sizing sizes. Like, you know, instead of something being 16 ounce, now it's 14.5 or 12.3. And it looks like the same bottle, but it's less. Because I did that just the other day. I had water that was in a gallon that I transferred to another gallon that had a handle that's a little easier. And it wasn't even a gallon. They didn't even fill it up. I was like, well, they robbed me. You know, they actually robbed me. I bought a Deer Park. It was 101 fluid 101.4 fluid ounces, and I poured it into a bottle that was 128. And this is a gallon bottle. And I thought the other thing was a gallon. And here they cheated me, you know. And it's little things like that that's been happening, that the value of things are cost the same, but it looked like the same bottle to me. It looked exact. It was up there with the other gallons, and all the other gallons were like gallons. And here it was a different size. So little things like that's been happening. Let's see, is there anything else on my list that I wanted to incorporate? Especially about knowing where your children are. That's really important. And having a safe haven that if somebody comes looking for a child and say, your mother's dead, have a secret code. Your mother, some kind of word or some kind of color or something that somebody has to know for you to release your child or that child to be released from someone. Just say your child's next door and this person intervenes and says, I'm going to go pick your child up, and they're the stranger, or they're the person who's diabolical, and they go to the child and say, well, your mother sent me, and they say for you to come home, and you're looking at the person. The person could be somebody that they know, and they might say, okay, well, what's the secret word? Well, if they don't know it, that means you didn't give it to them, and that means that child's not supposed to go. And little things like that could cost a child. Because, see, one of the things we have to remember in this whole war, this whole thing that's coming down the pike, is us as adults, we are obsolete, like the CD, like the 8-track player. We are really obsolete. It's our children that they want. They really want our children because they can mold them. They can make them robots. They can make them soldiers. They can, you know, put them on a black market, you know, and our children are our true value. And if we don't do it for anybody else, we need to do it for them, because it's a lot for us to do. It's, you know, one of the things I do talk to our daughter, who's the mother of our grands, we talk about food supply and things, and she's like, well, why can't I eat meat? Y'all ate meat when y'all was little. Why the hamburgers bad? Why the hot dogs bad? I said, honey, you know, things have changed. I would love to say you're going to eat the same hot dog I ate in 1972, but that hot dog don't exist no more. You know, they got garbage hot dogs now. I'm sorry. Things have changed. And some of these, you know, 30 to 45 or so year old folks don't understand why things are not the same. And us that are older are saying, we have the wisdom. No, they're not the same. You're going to have to rethink what you're doing. And downsizing and getting rid of that stuff that you don't need. You know, we don't need 1,800 pairs of high heel shoes. We need a couple of them. I'm not saying that we don't. But, you know, some of that stuff that we thought we need, we're not going to be able to take with us. If you got to do a 1, 2, 3, let's pack up and go, what you going to take? Play that game. What you going to take? Look in the room. 1, 2, 3, take 10 things that's of value. See who grabs what, because you see sometimes different show or different movies, not movies, but when it's floods and things like that, people are looting for what, a TV set? Well, you gonna put the TV set on a raft and take the raft down the street that's flooded? Like, is the TV set important? You know, no, that TV set, chances are by the time you get to where you need the TV, they don't even got electricity. So why is that important? You know, we have to just rethink what is really important. And a lot of young people don't have an idea of value. Things are just not that important. Like Dave said about the precious metals, you know, that's what's precious. That is what's important. You know what I mean? That type of thing. Things that you can transfer. Things that you can hand down. And a lot of this that we're doing now is just, that's going to be that important, and we are ahead of the game, and we need to use this knowledge and teach it to other people that want to listen. Some people don't want to listen. They like to be those naysayers and, oh, ain't nothing going to happen. Okay, if nothing's going to happen, you can buy all of my $50 purses. I got 20 of them. Look, I'll give them to you as a bargain because I don't need them. You want them? Because I'll give them to you. Yeah, you can buy them because I'll take one, and the rest of them you can have, you know, because I'm going to take that $200 and buy a ham radio, you know. So, you know, we really have to look at things differently as we approach this whole countdown. I don't like to say countdown, but count to which is coming down the pipe. We really need to be mindful. And like I said, you know, play games with the children. Even play games with the adults, you know, even if you don't have children. You should still play Lights Out Weekend, you know. Lights are out, what are we going to do? Like Dave said, you don't want your house looking like a Christmas tree when nobody else has light, because guess where everybody's going to come? So you have to think about it, you know. So those are some of the things that I wanted to share on this show. I apologize, my husband didn't get any time, but that's okay. He'll have his show next week. But I know Scotty wants me to wrap up so that he can get ready for the next show. And if anybody has any calls or any concerns or anything, you can bring them to the show next week, and we'll answer them, whatever questions you have. Because downsizing, every so often I'm going to interject with that, because that's something that's continuous. So, Scotty, I appreciate your time and appreciate Black Talk Radio. And I'll turn it over to you so that you can get ready for the next show.
All right. Thank you, Sister Davis. And we will conclude this broadcast, the Tando Radio Show. This will be the last broadcast of the week, as you heard Dave earlier. He's off this week spending time with family. But check blacktalkradionetwork.com for other programming and the schedule for the rest of the week. Peace and blessings to all. Be safe.